Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Not forgotten all of it, but just little, kind of the little threads that happened that day. I remember Deontay Thompson was not sure if he was going to play, so I go to the stadium early to kind of help him work out or watch him and evaluate, and then tough as nails, and he was the one that helped us win the snow game against the Colts earlier that year, and he's yelling to me, he's yelling, palm trees, coach, this is before the Colts game, because we had talked about the palm trees that grow around here. Maybe you guys don't see them, but they're all over the place.
Whoa!
We have palm trees here?
Pew pew. Shots fired.
Someone tell Kevin Adams. That was Sean McDermott.
I can't believe that.
From what I can tell, like, he's reminiscing about the playoff, the drought breaker.
Yep.
And that comment happens, and it's like, what in the hell?
Yeah, Matt Bove tweets out, when life gives you lemons.
It is kind of funny, like, how, like, I don't know if that's meant to be a shot.
It just works, though.
It was just one of those things where it's like, wow, who would have thought? within months.
Yes.
These comments happen, and it's like, what are we doing here? And the Sabres, it's just another one of these issues of how do you end up with a season like this when it looks like the rest of the league has taken a step back within the Eastern Conference and you put up a season like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the frustrating part. And they have managed to pretty much lose any and all good faith that they had built at the start of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Because the thing is that, yeah, you're 7 points out of a playoff spot. But at the same time, you got to jump everyone still. You're still in last place in the East. And you started the road trip with a very convincing win. You played it close against Dallas. And then you choked the same frustrating way against the Colorado Avalanche that you did the last time you played them. And it led to the comment at the end of the game, Rob Ray saying, I'm kind of getting sick of this team. Some people thinking, wait, did he say that about the Sabres? No, he said it about the Avalanche. Because you saw them do the same exact thing twice, come back from a huge deficit and win the game. The difference being, I guess you got a point in this one as opposed to the last one. But this is a team that you see, it's like, okay, yeah, no, now I understand how you lost 13 in a row. And
it's so
everything,
frustrating.
It's everything. That's the problem, is that it is indeed everything about it, where you don't know what to do anymore. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And it's tough because This is a team that should have promise. This is a team that should have the ability. And yet, they're still somehow one of the worst defensive teams that there is when it comes to structure. Even though they have Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, and Bowen Byram on the same squad. That's the problem.
It's just so obnoxious. It really is. You know, we make the joke. You got me into it. Then we're both out. Then a couple days, like last week, you were like, "Oh, look at them."
Yeah, a week ago, I'm joking about it. Like if they string more wins together here, we're so back.
Yeah, turnover for the Bulls, by the way.
Oh my God, they recover another
in the end zone. So is that to the 20-yard line?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So
wow. I didn't know if it made it out or not.
Remains. It's 16-0 Bulls up on Liberty in the Bahamas Bowl.
Every team can win but the Sabres from Buffalo. Bandits, Bulls, Bills.
That's the thing. They need to change their name to a B.
Yeah, you're right.
The Sabres, they start with an S. They don't start with a B. Oh, that's kind of close, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That might be on the 1-yard line. That might be it. Oh, they did wave touchback, actually. So
good.
It's call on the field.
Good.
Back to the Sabres, though,
what do you do? They're 14-20-5. That's despicable.
You're selling at the deadline.
The Golden Knights, who they're playing tonight, 26-9-3.
So they have less losses than the Sabres had in the losing streak.
Yes.
That hurts. That hurts me where I live.
Well, you know what? I'm intrigued. Let's see this.
But Vegas also being one of the top teams in the National Hockey League, it's not a surprise. It's just one of these things where, again, the only teams that are lower than you are Nashville, San Jose, and Chicago. You've been passed by Anaheim.
Yeah. But I know the NFL, right? People mention it's a copycat league. Why aren't you looking at the gold standard, literally, in the name, the Golden Knights, right? The depth they have?
It's not replicable.
No?
How they did it was through an expansion draft.
Expansion draft, yeah.
And with teams not knowing what they were doing with protection lists.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres were actually one of the few that played it smart. They ended up losing Will Carrier, but that's like a fourth liner.
Right, they didn't lose this big piece
piece, and they also didn't overpay to protect players.
Mm-hmm.
The Florida Panthers are complicit in the rise of the Golden Knights. Probably the most.
Yes.
The Minnesota Wild didn't help.
Nope.
The Anaheim Ducks certainly didn't help. Because that's how they get some of their core pieces. Minnesota protected players to avoid having Matthew Dumba or Jared Spurgeon getting taken because they had so many no moves. And it was the Suter and Parise contracts that really hurt them. Because they would have left one of those unprotected if they could.
Yeah.
But that ended up getting them Alex Tuch.
Exactly.
Tuch is a vital piece in the Eichel trade.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, they get Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault, both of them. They offered up Jonathan Marchessault so that they could take the contract of Riley Smith.
Right.
And Florida gave Vegas two parts of their top line. William Karlsson, being William Karlsson, was not to be expected. He was taken off of Columbus. That ascension wasn't expected.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to hold Columbus to as high of a problem with the standard there. But Vegas, it's not replicable. Because even with Seattle, how their expansion draft ended up going, teams were very much, you go ahead, take him. Take the guy that we left unprotected, I dare you. I double dare you. Because they knew an expansion draft was coming. Vegas and that expansion draft happened in a time where there were no expansion drafts. A very long time. And they reworked the entirety of the rules so that a new franchise could be successful sooner rather than later. Because you don't need a team in the desert to start off with 4 or 5 seasons of just nothing.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
But then GMs also learned their lesson because of it, knowing that they were going to add a 32nd team.
Well, Seattle's was better, right?
Seattle's was not better.
No.
Very clearly, Vegas went to the Cup the first year.
No, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the GMs learned after Vegas.
Yes, they, the
technically
Seattle,
the expansion draft was better on other NFL, yes,
the,
NHL
the other NHL GMs learned their lessons the hard way.
That's what I was saying. So like they learned
Anaheim,
from Vegas.
Anaheim, I forgot to mention, like that's Shea Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
That was their top pairing defenseman.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they do, though, is they spend money in free agency to further supplement a team that was built on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just a team that keeps doing that. They still had assets that they were able to pay for top-tier players. And that is where the problem comes in. It's hard for the Sabres to do anything like that because they've had no modicum of success. 2 years ago was the time to add to this team, and it was too late. Because then you could sell players on the no move going, hey, we're team up and coming. We missed the playoffs by 1 point. You could be a part of this change.
Yep. And now you're on a 13-game dumper. Well, we're on a 13-game dumper. You're maybe soon to be on a 3-game dumper again. And you're going to streak together another thing of losses. It's
And these losses negate the wins that came after Christmas.
Yes.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. They cancel it out.
They canceled it out, which would be fine if you didn't have 13 games
in a row
that you lost. But it would be more palatable because then you'd be back in the middle of the conversation.
How is there no movement in the front office?
Or even on the roster.
Or on the roster. How are we not? I know there was that one trade you mentioned.
Yes, and that is
not being active.
No.
Why is there not more happening? Why are you not going and getting a veteran talent to put somewhere on this roster?
Who wants...
And not Patrick Kane. Not him.
In the defense of Kevin Adams in this sense.
Who wants to come here?
Who wants to come here? You need to find players that have no moves and be aggressive about it. But now, also, what's the point? You're in last place.
At this point in the season, right? Yeah.
You're halfway through the year and you're in last place.
But how do you sell someone in the offseason? Oh, we're gonna try it again. We got 1 point out of the playoffs 3 years ago. I'm 5 years into my GM tenure. I've done very little, minus drafting, to really help this team. What do you say at that point? When do you become that team that's
looking? You target players that have that do not have the no move clauses.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't say no. That's the thing.
Right. Do you worry about the culture you create at that point, though?
No.
You're holding them hostage in a way?
No.
Because they can't move?
No.
No?
Because then they also will have those no-move clauses activate when they get here. So if the team doesn't work, you abide by that clause and you get them out of there at that point, too. It is an issue. And that's where the frustration from Adams in that press conference did have some of that. But it got overshadowed by the palm trees taxes comment.
It did.
Where he was actually making a fair point. He was taking a shot at the Florida teams. Because
everyone wants to go play in Florida.
Because they have no taxes. They have palm trees. But the point that he was trying to make there was that the Florida teams do have a competitive advantage. Because they have no taxes that would be able to allow them to keep and retain their players for a cheaper cost because they still take in more money. And it's a problem that the Canadian market teams have as well. So it's not something that's a loan to Buffalo.
Right. Who wants to go play in Ottawa? You're right.
But it was how he said it after he was making a different point.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to earn your way off of those no moves. I'm not going to give Kevin Adams the benefit of the doubt anymore. I am trying to help clarify what he had said. But at some point, you are in a business that measures success, and you do not have any at this point. And you could be finishing with another last place finish within your conference, at least, in this tenure. That tells people you're not the guy. You need to make a move to at least bring some respectability back to the franchise. And the problem here is there aren't many answers.
No, and that seems to be the theme.
But again, 2 years ago, that was your problem. That was when you should have done it and you didn't. You add to a team that was on the rise and you tell the group there, you guys are ready. It instills confidence. It allows them to keep playing the game that they wanted to play. and you added someone that would help the roster get better, and you still would have had a bevy of picks and prospects that you still have.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that now you're also draining the value day by day of the players and the prospects that you've held on to.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. And that's the thing. They did have the number one prospect pool in the NHL a couple years ago, that same year that they were 1 point out from the playoffs. You should have expended a little bit of that prospect pool for some assets.
Or even picks.
Or picks. You're absolutely right. And the thing is, I think back to that season, and that was before UPL. That was when he was hot and cold.
That was
they didn't even move for another goaltender. Like, there was a lot they missed on doing that offseason, and that seems to be the catalyst for this absolutely spiral down the toilet.
This is the spiral that has happened through 2 years now.
Yes.
Because there were no moves made to supplement the core in a meaningful fashion.
Right. Because 2 years ago, they went on that 8-game losing streak in November, but they actually came back from it. And it was not a double digit losing streak.
It was also harder to make the playoffs this year than it would be this year.
It could be.
Not the easiest.
Right, but it's setting you up to make the playoffs. If you continue to play before that 13-game losing streak,
it looks like 85 points might be your projection.
Yes.
Whereas it was 92.
Yeah. You've dropped nearly 10 points. You're a couple points off. Mm-hmm. And you can't take advantage of it because you haven't set your roster up properly after the 1 point out.
And
debacle.
Even if they were to scrape and claw their way back, it would be basically a more exaggerated version of two seasons ago, where you had a massive losing streak and then you would ultimately fall short in the best case scenario. There is no best case scenario coming for this team right now, though.
Even last season, Derek, I was here doing nightcaps, previewing the West Coast trips for Sabres After Dark. As they were getting close to a playoff spot, it's the same story every year.
Well, this is not the same story.
No, this is completely different. This is
just a much more miserable one.
Yeah, misery at its finest this year. But they're still in a position where if they were to just go on a heater, say, right? Like you said, 85 points is really what does it. They were like, before the three wins, or after the first win, I should say, they were like 6 points out from the closest playoff spot, were they not?
Yes.
And they were in last place. So
this now they're in last place.
Yes. But still 7 points out from a playoff spot. You're telling me with half a season left that's unattainable? They're probably going to get close.
No, the problem is it is unattainable.
You think?
You have to jump everyone again because you were ahead of everyone.
Yeah. Now you're behind everybody. Yeah.
Is it possible? Yes. We saw it happen several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not several anymore. When St. Louis was in last place and the Sabres were in first place near the halfway point.
Yeah.
Or in December, the Sabres were in first place, but the Blues were in last place. Now here you are, though, in the beginning of January, halfway point of the year, you're in last again. The difference is that there is no telling where there's any sort of breakthrough that's going to happen now. Your top guys are your top guys. But it's a problem of what happens after that. Tage, Zucker, by the way, is getting you a first. Because there's no way you're holding on to him. Like, I appreciate the optimism on Twitter about it. Of like, don't be crazy about it. Sign Jason Zucker. I saw someone tweet, don't be a sucker. Extend Jason Zucker.
Yeah. They should sign
and like,
Zucker.
Everyone's saying that. The thing is, what veteran, especially playing the way that he is right now,
wants to
stay here?
Yeah.
Because
he's going to waste the rest of his career here.
Yeah.
Not rest of it, but a good chunk of it
here. You're 32 years old.
Oh, it might be the rest of it then. Yeah.
You're going to be traded to a contender.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be traded to a contender.
You're
going to
be, you know, I'm not saying going to be Okposo because there's a clear skill differential and age differential between the two of them.
Yeah.
But Okposo, look at Jack Eichel getting traded, went right to the Golden Knights.
But that's a different trade.
Yeah.
This is a rental trade. You should get a first. You should get a prospect back. Because of the way that he is playing, he's going to become one of the more valuable commodities on the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be one of the more valuable players that you can add. So if you don't get a first and a player back or a prospect back.
Would you rather have a prospect or a player? I feel like player, right? Over a prospect? So you can start building your active roster?
Depends on the player. I would want someone young.
Mm-hmm. So we're in full rebuild.
Not full rebuild.
But we're there. We're getting there.
But we're sellers at the deadline kind of season. That's what it's at.
Like if someone came and knocking for Dylan Cousins, you pulling the trigger on that?
I don't know. Because I don't know what teams are going to line up for him based on his inconsistencies this year and mm-hmm. the contract that he has.
What about Tage? Would you ever let Tage go for a big trade?
I would have to listen to an offer, but I'm probably not.
Yeah. I'm in the club of probably not because he's one of the centerpieces of this current team that actually...
trading Thompson, there better be a star player coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only conversation I'm willing to have.
Yeah.
Like, some people were saying something about, like, hey, what about trying to get Elias Pettersson because he's unhappy in Vancouver? Honestly, I'd send Tage back in that deal to lessen the blow of like what you have to have returned. But that's and even then, that's something I would get a lot of pushback on. Because you have picks and prospects. You have so many of them you should be spending on that.
Mm-hmm. We're just sitting on our hands at this point, though.
You have a GM that he has shown he can do this, and yet at the same time, the one thing he has yet to do is make the big acquisition. We've seen him capably add complementary pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Greenway was a great addition to this team a couple of years ago.
Yes, he was.
And he looked like he was very steadying bottom six presence.
Yeah.
When played in that role, last year he was not. He was playing more minutes than he should have.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan McLeod for Matthew Savoy. Looks like it was a good deal. At least in the immediate dividends. But even that, like McLeod has tailed off, but Savoy hasn't touched the NHL roster at all.
Nope. And he didn't look like he would be here for a while. So,
correct.
Yeah, that kind of made sense.
So you've shown you can do it.
Just get the big man.
Like, Connor Clifton was, at the end of the day, like it was a third pairing defenseman signing, and it was actually not that bad of an idea when he wasn't paired with Eric Johnson. Jason Zucker looks like it was one of the smartest free agent acquisitions you could have made. But then you've also got a GM who paid a second for Beck Malenstein.
Yeah.
He's a fourth liner.
He's just there.
He's a fourth liner. But my problem is you also have a GM who doesn't seem to take criticism fairly well. Because he said in that palm trees thing, the comment I still have more ire for than the palm trees taxes thing is.
Mm-hmm.
We had a deal lined up with a player and you would have ripped me for paying too much for an overpayment on that. That tells me you're concerned about what other
just
people think.
Do your job and forget about what the media thinks. They'll think what they think no matter what.
Yes.
Just deal with it.
Yes. And that was the problem that I had. That was my biggest problem with the general manager, and that's why I think they need to make a change there. But unfortunately, there's no real room for that to happen.
No.
I don't think, at least not in this year.
You're halfway through the season right now. That would be...
Like, coaches and GMs do change all the time in hockey. And that's another thing, is that there's inaction on a team that lost 13 in a row in a league where the Boston Bruins straight up fired their coach at the beginning of the season because he wasn't doing well enough.
Right. Lindy Ruff, the Devils, midseason, let go.
That was late. Late in the year.
Late
still.
In the year, yeah.
But still. Teams make changes when they see a coach, either a coach that's available, or they see that things are not working too well.
Uh-huh.
The St. Louis Blues. Can their coach within a year?
Yep. So can I ask you a question now? Is a 13-year going on 14-year if it doesn't change this year?
It's not.
Huh?
It won't.
So going on a 14-year playoff drought, right? Is that in dog years, in NFL years, the Bills' 18-year playoff drought? I feel like hockey, the turnover is a lot quicker. It's a lot worse that 14 years over 18 years in the NFL, right?
Especially in a league where half the teams make it, and for most of this drought, more than half the teams made it.
Right. We're not asking for much from the Sabres either. It's literally make the first round. Even if you get shut out completely, you made the playoffs.
Yes.
Like,
the Bills also didn't finish last multiple times like the Sabres have.
Well, right.
Their valleys have been lower.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
But I'm just saying 14 years like dog years compared to 18 in the NFL.
But to take Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power and still not have it figured out for the rest of a roster construction is a cruel and unusual punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Much like how you ended up with Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel and you couldn't figure out the rest of the roster construction.
It's insane.
You had elite forward talent and then you couldn't figure out the rest of the roster, including the defense. You now have two elite
defensive
style
talents.
Defensemen mm-hmm. and elite defensive talents.
And you can't put the rest of the roster together.
And you can't put the rest of the roster together, including the rest of the defense.
Yeah, you have two guys on defense. Like it's,
I would say three.
Three. Bo Byram
is a good player.
But still, the point still stands. What is happening? And you look at these other Sabres rosters in the drought, right?
You could actually put together a strong team.
Yes! I saw someone do that. Well, I'll have to look at that. But Pominville, those guys from Vanek when I was a kid, and they were still losing?
It's rough.
Yeah.
And it's also, no, I mean, like, it's R-O-U-G-H rough. It's tough.
It's not, yeah.
It's tough to see it because it's a different style of bad luck, even.
Mm-hmm.
You have guys that would, like, in this drought, you had a longtime GM and a longtime head coach, and that starts the drought. You have a guy who comes from a great background with Tim Murray. As a scout, he worked under his uncle and Brian Murray, who was a legend. And then he's so craven that like it just he was more aggressive, and UB almost got another turnover. Oh man. Defense putting the clamps on Liberty. But again, it's just with the Sabres. Then you go with, okay, how about a proven head coach like Dan Bylsma and a recommended hire for a general manager in Jason Bottrell? And that combo doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try...
You tried the reverse Ted Lasso.
Well, first you tried Phil Housley.
Yeah.
Who was also a recommended head coaching candidate.
Yep.
Because he was an up-and-coming guy. He was on the rise. He was someone that was actually very valuable as a commodity, as a defensive assistant with the Predators at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. And then you try the reverse Ted Lasso.
The soccer coach. What a nightmare.
And then you try one of his assistants. Mm-hmm. And now you hire a general manager who had no front office experience in the NHL. And just nothing is working. And
see, that's the most baffling thing to me is...
The Buffalo Sabres are a billionaire's passion project.
Yes,
that failed.
Yes. And that's the thing for me. A team that's already been...
And I hate it.
...out of the playoffs for that long. You don't hire a GM with... actual experience in a front office whatsoever. No, we're going to hire from within. I believe in our guys. What about the organization has promoted belief in the fellas after that many years of no playoff berths?
Why did I let you talk me into talking about this team?
I don't know.
I'm depressed. So we'll wrap things up within this next half hour here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, you're listening to WGR.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We've got good resources in-house that try and work ahead all season long, and they have this grid of week to week who they're breaking down, and they try and stay out, you know, probably two or three or four weeks at a time, chipping away at it through the season, and then you get to this time of year, and that's kind of put in the wastebasket, and then you're focusing in on, you know, in our case, potentially three teams that we might play, as well as getting ready for this week, so...
Head coach Sean McDermott of the Bills, by the way, quick little note for you. Amari Cooper has been downgraded to out for the game tomorrow. Per the team, he will not travel and has been excused for a personal family matter. So Amari Cooper not traveling with the team, personal reasons, though, and is excused for the game.
I didn't expect him to play.
Expect him to suit up anyway. hope everything's okay.
Yes.
That is the biggest deal of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And... hopefully everything with him and his family is fine.
Yeah,
for sure. So Bills, Patriots tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff.
Mm.
Tonight, the Sabres take on the Golden Knights. That should be hopefully something.
Oh, that analysis right there. That should be hopefully something.
That should be hopefully something. I also think
it all. That says it all.
If not for the late time, you might challenge the Winter Classic for viewership that day.
Jeez. Yeah. I didn't know this until we just... Ugh.
Yeah. I ended up bringing this up on the break of somehow, some way, The only thing that's worse than the Buffalo Sabres right now is the NHL's marketing department. Because the NHL, for the 2025 Winter Classic, drew less than 1 million viewers.
And why, you might ask?
I've got several reasons why. One of the teams that is on there. By the way, it's an average. They averaged 920,000 viewers.
Hmm.
That's down 16% from the previous low of the Golden Knights and the Kraken. And down 48% from 2 years ago. One of the reasons, they were trying to avoid the college football playoff. And that probably did not help in the matter. Especially because they were college football fans desperately looking for a game that would be a little bit more balanced in the second round. But also, it's the first time that you're dealing with 12-team playoff. And college bowl games oftentimes would take place in New Year's, either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day.
Yep.
The New Year's Six, typically, what they would be called before like the national championship, before the playoff even began. There's always the New Year's Six. So the NHL would compete with that, though. Willingly. They would go up against the New Year's Six. They did not play on New Year's Day. The 2025 Winter Classic was played in 2024. The bigger reason, I think, though,
is... That's nuts.
The bigger reason that there weren't as many viewers was... Stop putting the Blackhawks in.
Yeah, can we get out of Chicago? Is that possible? Doesn't seem like it. How many years has it been them?
Five.
Yeah, no. We're done.
Do you want to know Chicago's record for the Winter Classic, by the way?
0-5?
Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable. No. That'd be like putting the Sabres in there for 13 games.
So even when they're good, like even when they were good, the Blackhawks have not won the Winter Classic. And they've been on it five times. And now, why? They are bad. They are objectively a bad hockey
team. Put two good teams in the Winter Classic.
I get trying to sell Connor Bedard and his star power. But one player is not enough. You need a team that is successful.
Put two juggernauts in there, please. I'd rather watch a Goliath of a matchup with the two best teams in the NHL than that. You know? Like, it's just, I don't know what to say. Like, what a terrible decision.
Yeah, you need to return to New Year's Day. You need to...
Not play it while other games are going on in the NHL.
Yes.
Let's not have simultaneous games.
So return it to New Year's Day. Yeah. The only NHL game was Devils-Kings that day.
Right. Because guess where everyone else is watching who's not a Blackhawks fan or whoever. Who are they playing?
St. Louis.
St. Louis. Blues fan. They're watching their team play on regular covers. You're not watching the Winter Classic.
Yes. And the other thing was that it was not marketed very well.
No.
Not many people even remember that it was even happening.
No, you asked me and I was like, what do you mean? It happened on, didn't happen on New Year's Day. I had no idea. Yeah,
because they didn't do a good job telling people that. This is just one of those things where like, man, as a league, you've got to figure it out because you're going to get beaten down at this point. Meanwhile, in the Bahamas Bowl, we just saw kids racing a dog.
How'd they do? I didn't see the end result. Did dog nail him?
The good boy, I think, barely lost.
Good boy? Is that his name? What is it?
I mean, I don't know. But it's the good boy. And if it's not a good boy, it's a good girl.
It was a golden.
Yes.
Oh, it's an interception!
And that's a pick six.
Yes.
See you later.
Oh, my goodness.
UB taking it to Liberty. And that's good night right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the NHL.
We just got more excited about that.
Well, I mean, we saw it in live time, though, too.
Yeah.
UB is going to go away winning. They're up 25-0 on Liberty in the fourth quarter of the Bahamas Bowl. By the way, what a draw for UB. You go to the Bahamas Bowl. Yeah, I'm done talking about the NHL. You're dead to me.
Yeah, I'll talk about this for a little bit. Yes.
Is there sand in that field?
Looks like it.
I don't know, but it looks pretty. I don't want to say beat up, but like
it looks rough.
You're seeing
so many patches. It looks like sand.
No, they definitely put sand in it to fill the holes, whatever it is.
There's no way.
Did you see the wind making those the way the football's moving?
Yes, but UB though
26-0.
You get now you're up 26-0. You got to go to the Bahamas. Look at this. Here it is, the dog. Look at the dog.
Oh.
Dog racing with the kids. And yelling at,
oh.
Yeah, I think the dog won. And then right after that, bam.
Good vibes from the golden retriever.
Good vibes from the good boy or the good girl.
One of the two.
One of the two.
The vibes are unmatched until...
But think about
literally
this.
Literally BS. You are a
student athlete within the UB football program.
Mm-hmm.
You get not only no competition for your viewers, you get the lone Saturday after the college football playoff. Round two goes on. Uncontested for your bowl game. And you get to go to the Bahamas, dog.
Yep.
Like... There is no better draw.
They were at Atlantis yesterday.
Yes. You got a vacation to the Bahamas, and now you get to go play football after that. That's already a win. And now you're putting it to Liberty. There's no better week.
That entire team, like, yeah, they didn't make the MAC championship, whatever. Pete Lembo's first season as a head coach.
But that's a heck of an ending to your season.
Yeah. First season as head coach. And Pete Lembo does that. You can't really argue with that result.
Yeah.
As soon as they move on from Mo Lindquist, look at what happens.
So the best part about it is, like I'd mentioned, it's uncontested. It is the last bowl game that isn't a college football playoff. They cap off the bowl season.
Yeah.
And it used to be that the Bahamas Bowl would kick off the bowl season.
And now they're the ones that end it, again, with a trip to the Bahamas. And you're on a Saturday afternoon where, you know, people do have a tendency to watch college football. So you're playing at a time that's typically normal for your kickoffs, except for the fact that they play in the MAC, so Tuesday night action is a thing. But if people want to watch college football, guess what? They had one more time to do it on a Saturday. And it was UB against Liberty. And you just took it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a vacation to the Bahamas. There is no better ending to your season. Yet, like you said, yeah, it stings that you don't get a chance to play for the conference championship, but you're now a program back from the brink from where you were a couple years ago.
Yep.
You are ascending again.
Mm-hmm.
And for not being able to play in the MAC championship, it's a pretty good way to go out. Winning in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
There are a few ways that you can end a college season better than that. Get to 9 wins on the year after staying in the Bahamas at Atlantis, and now you are convincingly winning this game against Liberty. There are not many people in the stands, but, or at least not in the shot that I see.
No,
there are not a lot of people going to this game, but that is also because it's being played in the Bahamas.
Like, yeah, let's be real. You're not going to book a ticket to the Bahamas just to see the UB Bulls play.
No.
And that's not a slight to the organization. It's just expensive.
It's just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you got to go to the Bahamas.
I feel like that should be included in your ticket. You're going to the Bahamas Bowl. You're going to the Bahamas. Hey, you want to... couple extra bucks.
I don't know if I'm going on vacation to the Bahamas.
Would you want to go to a college football game?
No, probably not.
I don't know if I'm going to a football game.
I'll stick at the Atlantis Resort and just, you know, go to the beach, swim with some dolphins or something.
Yeah,
you
know, like, I feel like most people.
Red Murdock is probably going to win MVP. He forced a fumble and also
got the pick six.
Got the pick six.
He's been great. Yeah, he's been fantastic. UB has been fantastic. Their defense has been on lock. Yep, there he is again. So, again, for UB, this is awesome for them. You're a program ascending again. You are a team that got to go to the Bahamas. You win convincingly here today, and barring an epic collapse, but I don't think their defense is going to have
any
problems.
They're not the Sabres, right?
No, they're not. Quite literally, they're not. And you get to win going out, which is something that in bowl season, only half of teams get to do. You get to go out on a high note today. And unlike every team that won their bowl game to go out on the year, you get to win in the Bahamas.
Yeah, and stay there probably for a couple days,
yeah,
too.
Take a couple extra days, you know? You earned it, especially with this win.
Yeah, shutout. if it stays that way.
Getting a shutout. Yeah, hopefully.
11 minutes left.
There's a lot of ball left, but they've also forced a lot of turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to wrap this thing up. Come back, get out, and prepare you for the weekend ahead. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali, this has been Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR. Last segment here of Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali here with you. Wrapping it up. Bills and Patriots tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff. Pre-game will start at 7 o'clock here on WGR, 7 a.m. For all you sickos out there.
Yes.
It me. I'm a sicko. I'm going to have to host. Let's go. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sabres, Golden Knights tonight. 10 o'clock face-off. Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 9 p.m. here on WGR as Brian, Paul, and they will get you through some more Sabres hockey on your weekend.
Get you through.
Get you through it.
Because there's a lot to get through.
Yes, there is. It always is. It's a long season. Unfortunately, the Sabres have been looking up now in the standings for a little while now. Joe, any final thoughts here?
No, just hopefully they win a game. Well, you know, it'd be nice to see an upset, I guess. Yeah. But good on UB for this performance in the bowl game.
Love that for them.
Phenomenal. The Bills, enjoy the nothing burger while you can. Get the bye week. You know, we'll be here tomorrow with coverage all day. But, yeah, get to the bye week, make it work, and on to the playoffs. The season starts now.
Well, I mean,
Survive in advance.
Get to the playoffs, not the bye week, but yeah.
Well, right, yeah. Yeah, use this as the bye week to get to the playoffs, I should say. That's what I meant to
say.
There we go. But, yeah, survive in advance. Yes.
Yep, it'll be Bills game day. I want to make a note real quick. This one goes out for my aunt, Carol Gomolski. She ended up passing away last night. Her and I used to talk football a lot.
Yeah.
She loved college football a lot more than anything, I would say, more than the Bills.
Really?
Yeah. So she did get to enjoy Notre Dame getting another win. She liked Notre Dame for some reason. We butted heads
for
on that.
For some reason, yeah.
We butted heads on that a lot. She just liked quality college football.
Yeah.
And every Saturday she would just be watching no matter what, SEC, Notre Dame, anything that was on, Big Ten. She just loved watching college ball. So
yeah.
For the last college bowl game to wrap up like this and knowing that she passed last night, this one goes out to you, Aunt Carol. And everyone else, though, have a great weekend. And I'll talk to you all tomorrow morning.